coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Lasseter, and Corey Labounty.
Good morning and welcome to the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha and coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, located right here in the heart of Mobile, Alabama. And we are presented by the great folks at Alpha. Good morning, Mark Lasseter.
Good morning, Coach. How's everybody this morning? Dalt, you all right this morning, buddy?
I'm doing fantastic, Coach.
Good deal, buddy.
It's good to see you too, Dalt, and thank you for being on board. We don't know where Corey is, just to be honest with you. We're looking for him and hoping we hear from him, but don't know where he is this morning. Hope he's safe.
Hope he's all right.
I do too. Kind of bothers me that we hadn't heard from him. Don't know what's going on, but that's unusual. But hopefully we'll hear from him at some point in time, and he'll let us know what's going on with him. You know, Mark, as much as we've got going on with all of our spring sports and all of the, you know, the golf, the tennis, the baseball, the track, everything that's going on, I think the thing that probably hit home with you and I this week was what was going on over in Colquitt County, Georgia. Rush Probst, who changed high school football in Alabama.
No doubt.
You know, he literally he brought a change to high school football in this state. And I would venture to say that his coaching style changed football in a large part of the Southeast. I mean, we went to 7-on-7s. We went to a totally different type of offense. We spread the field. Defensively, coaches had to adjust and make all kind of changes and adjustments. Sad news out of Colquitt County. Rush Probst has lost his job at Colquitt County, Georgia. We don't know why, and I'm sure that, and there's, with all the people that we know and everything that we've read, and if there's a huge article coming out of Moultrie, Georgia yesterday. Josh Bean has an article in AL.com relative to this situation. Not going to get into that. Just not going to. Not going to get into innuendo or any of that right there, but I can tell you this. It's a sad, sad day in my heart because there's so many, and you hear the kids that played for Rush and the affection that they had for him and still have for him. For us to lose a coach of his ability, for whatever reasons we're losing him, is just a sad, sad state of affairs. And I'm perplexed. I don't know how I feel about it. But at the same time, Mark, it's just a sad, sad day for high school football in the Southeast.
Yeah, you know, and I don't, you know, and we're not going to, like you said, we're not going to speculate or try to talk about what may or may not have happened. We don't know. And so there's no sense talking about it. I just hate the fact that Rush has lost his job and, you know, at this time in his career, don't know what he's going to do after that. But I'm sure he'll land on his feet somehow. But, you know, in our world today, you know, you do something, you know, if there's something, you can make a lot of people happy and a lot of people mad all in the same day when you run, and you work in a public profession, and that's just the nature of the beast. And so I don't really, I have no idea what took place, but it is sad because I know that he has done a lot of great, he's done a lot of great things for Colquitt County. He's put that school right on the map in the Southeast of our country.
Yep.
Seeing what he's done. So it's just going to be something we're going to have to watch and see what happens and report on when we have facts.
And that's the only way to do it.
Yeah.
And that's just the way we've always done it around here. We're not going to, you know, we're just not going to report stuff that we don't have, you know, we're just not sure of. And I'm sure that newspapers, you know, they have a job to do and they print what they have to print, and that's where it is. But this man certainly changed the culture of football in our state, and I think for the better. I think for the better. And I know we know all of his personal issues. We know that. We understand that. But as a, you know, as a radio show that he's been a friend of our show for a long time. I mean, Rush has always been accessible. He's always shared with us what was on his heart. Sometimes it wasn't good, but he's always shared with us. And it's pretty tough to see this going on. And what really hurts is for all those kids that in Moultrie, at Hoover, that really bought into the package. Mm-hmm. They bought into it. And I'm going to tell you, he lived that with those kids now. He fought for those kids. He did everything he could to help those kids be better. But, boy, outside the lines, there were some demons that must have been going on, and that's the sad part of that. And all we can do is be in prayer for him.
Right.
That's all we can do is be in prayer for him. He knows us well enough. If there's anything we can do to help him, we'll do it. But at the same time, if he's breaking the law or doing anything that he shouldn't be doing, that's just something that's outside the boundaries of who we are. So, and there's a lot of people who feel that way.
Yes.
I mean, there's a lot of people who care about Rush. You know, a guy that I have the utmost respect for is Ed Latham. Mm-hmm. And Ed, I think Ed probably saved Russ at a tough time in his life when he brought him to Alma Bryant. And then you followed him.
Right.
You followed him there. So you know more about that situation than anybody. But Ed Latham, good gracious, what a giant of a man he is and always has been. And he made Rush do what Rush had to do in order to maintain the integrity of that school system, that school. And I'll always love Ed Latham for a lot of reasons, but that was I think that was really that gave Rush his beginning.
Right.
And from there he was able to move forward and took the Hoover job, and he did an amazing job at Hoover, but at the same time had a lot of demons with him. But that's where we are with it. I know. I bet I've got close to 100 emails and text messages asking about it. And to be honest with you, don't know any more than you know. Dalton knew more about it this morning than I did because he'd read the Moultrie Observer yesterday. So we'll move on from there. If you have questions or comments or want to comment on that situation, feel free to do it at CNC Communication Lines at 251-343-0106. And we will certainly, we'll let you have your say. And we'll move on from there. Other than that, Mark, got a lot of baseball going to be played today. We got a new football coach at Hartsel High School. We've got the Gatorade Basketball Player of the Year and guy that most of us figured it would be, Trendon Watford out of Mountain Brook, and he's certainly been recognized as that. The Mobile Sports Hall of Fame has got its members for 2019, and we certainly want to talk about that. We're going to talk about the premier baseball players in the state of Alabama, and there's a lot of them from this area. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to tell you the top baseball teams in the state of Alabama. You know, there's a girl at J.B. Pennington. Maybe you're familiar with that school. A girl playing softball there who set a national record. How many home runs do you think she hit in a row, Mark?
Four.
What do you think?
I was going to go six.
Well, you're both low. She hit seven in a row.
Wow.
Every time.
Wow.
One for every day of the week. Seven in a row.
I hit one home run in my entire life. She hit seven in a row.
Well,
day.
That had to be over the fence because it wasn't inside the park, I promise you.
What are you trying to say?
Well, I'm trying to say that.
I'm so slow.
But now you were probably pretty fast when you were small.
I really was.
Yeah,
I
can imagine.
Nobody runs like a scared man.
But Shea Putnam up at J.B. Pennington hit seven straight home runs and seven consecutive plate appearances.
Holy cow. Can you imagine?
No, I can't. But at the same time.
I think we've probably. That's not slow pitch.
No, it's not slow pitch. It's fast pitch.
You can see it in slow pitch. I mean, in some of the leagues that you and I played.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You know, some of the folks are going to stand up. They're going to hit them out every single time they come up.
Yeah.
But. Fast pitch. That's pretty special.
Yeah,
I don't care
special.
Who you're playing, where you're playing, what you're. If you hit seven out of the park, that's pretty good.
Now that wasn't in one game. That was in seven in a row. Seven at bats.
That's
seven.
Even more impressive.
No, I'm telling you,
because you're getting a zone sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you're playing, you can't, and the ball looks like it's a grapefruit coming out there, and so and then all of a sudden you go. But if you go home, sleep, get up, 2 days later, and you hit Four more.
Yeah, what? Lord of mercy.
I'm telling you, seven, after a night's sleep,
yeah.
And she stands back up there and hits home runs. That's amazing. Shea Putman.
That's awesome.
From J.B. Pennington.
Good.
That's impressive. She's the, I tell you what she is. She's a Prep Sports Report Player of the Week.
No doubt. She's our hero today.
She
morning.
Is today. Hey, got a big game coming up this spring, too. Kenny King is over at Daphne. He's going to jump on 7A McGill Tulin. That should be an interesting matchup over here across the bay. We'll be back with more PSR right here on Radio Alabama, WYAA 106.5 and The Lake 105.1, covering 45 beautiful thousand acres of beautiful water right there on Lake Martin.
The CNC Financial and Auto Sales communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. This segment of the Prep Sports Report, presented by Green & Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now, back to the show.
I seen your picture. Your name in lights above it. This is your big debut.
Yep, this is your big day, too. I'm not about to interrupt those guys. Not going to do it. Long-standing tradition of Prep Sports Report. Steely Dan. Never be any more like him, I can promise you that. You know, as we go all around Alabama, let's talk about things that are going on around the state of Alabama. You go up to the northern part of Alabama where, Mark, one of the great jobs has been done for many, many, many years has been done at Hartsville. Go all the way back to Don Woods.
Oh, yeah.
And the brother of Sparky Woods, who for years was a head coach at South Carolina. But Don Woods just built a dynasty up at Hartsville, and they played for state championships year after year after year. The thing that got me about Hartsville, every time you'd go to play them, and we played them at Prattville one year, the year we won the state championship at Prattville, the first one, before Bill Clark, we go to Hartsville to play them. You'll love this, Mark, as an offensive line coach. And Don and I were talking before the game, and he said, Cleve, you might better go to the restroom before we get the ball the first time. I said, what are you going to do? And he said, you just wait and see. So Hartsville gets the ball. They get 15-foot splits, Mark.
Oh,
I mean, they spread it from hash to hash.
Good grief.
And the funny thing about that was, and we had a heck of a – Tony Page was our defensive coordinator, and it was – I'm telling you, he scrambled, called timeout right off the bat to try to make the adjustment. But, I mean, 15-foot splits between the center and the guard and the tackle – and the tight end was almost on the sideline. And they'd run that split back Vera. They'd line up in the eye. And for a while, it was just like cows going through a fence.
Yeah.
I mean, they just – but – and eventually they stopped that. But they that was neat. That's the first time I heard big splits. Well, and, you know, some of us had to try to copy that at some point in time later on. But and that boy, that was some fun times playing against Don Woods teams. But that's been a great job. Hartsville's always been
always
a good
been.
Job.
Always been. Good community up there.
Yeah. Yeah. City school system.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, their superintendent at one time was a guy by the name of Dr. Lee Hartsville. I always thought that was neat.
That's pretty neat.
Good guy. Loved the community. And but they have now, our buddy Bob Godsey has moved on. Bob's retiring, and he's done a great job at Hartsville. He was a longtime assistant there and just did a great job. And so Bob now is going to Madison Academy, which is, boy, it's one of the premier private schools up in North Alabama. So Bob's going to take that job, and I can promise you. Now, they've had some problems. Madison Academy is well documented. They've had some problems, and they, as a matter of fact, they terminated everybody on their staff at one time and just turned it all over. Bob Godsey, if it needs to be cleaned up, Bob Godsey will clean it up. He'll clean it up, I can promise you. Just a good man and loves children, and he'll do a great job there for Madison Academy. They have hired at Hartsville Bo Culver. I get tickled at Bo. Bo's a young guy. He was a head coach at 23, Mark. Can you imagine?
Wow.
23 years old. He was a head coach. He was 24 when he took the job at Phil Campbell. And you know where that
is. Yes, I do.
That's and at one time, that was some pretty competitive things going on around Field Campbell. At 24 years old, he was a head coach at Field Campbell. He left there and took the job at Sparkman. But he didn't stay at Sparkman but about 3 months when he took the Haleyville job. Haleyville job was, you know who? Who in Alabama High School Athletic Association history, Mark?
Bubba Scott.
You know, because the field's named after him, isn't it?
Yep. I had to go over and play one night when I was at Hamilton.
Did you?
I'll tell you something. When I got that job in Hamilton, I was asked in the interview, can you beat Haleyville?
Really?
And I don't really know.
You don't even know where Haleyville is.
I didn't know where about anything. At the time, Hamilton had beaten Haleyville 20 years in a row.
Oh, my goodness.
So they were really wanting to make sure we could win that game. So we show up over there that night to play them, and Mike Hand was the head coach.
Yeah, Mike, from North Alabama.
Yep,
he recruited.
Played at Alabama, you know, years ago. He's retired now. But Mike was the head coach, great guy.
Yeah, good
but,
guy.
But I walked into the stadium, and I didn't even know. I looked up there, and there it is, Herman Bubba Scott Field. And I'm going, this cannot be good, you know, because Herman Bubba Scott was one heck of a football coach.
He was.
And a good man.
Good.
And did a lot of great things for the Alabama High School Athletic Association. And so, yeah, I knew about that stadium. And we did win that game, by the
you
way.
You did.
We made 21. So
it didn't take you but 48 minutes to do it.
48 minutes. To keep on going. Kept my job for another year.
How long will it take you to beat Haleyville? 48 minutes.
48 minutes.
Who made that quote famous? But it wasn't 48, it was 60.
60. Was it Nick Saban?
No. It was one Patrick Fain die.
Oh, that's right. It sure was. That's
how long
exactly
is it
going
to take you to beat Alabama?
I knew it was one of the Alabama or Auburn guy one, but that was pretty awesome.
Yeah,
that was pretty awesome.
Yeah. How long is it going to take you to beat Alabama? And he
60
looked down
minutes.
And said 60 minutes. That's pretty good. But Bo Culver, now after he took the Haleyville job, I tell you what else he did now. Now, this is undocumented, but I'm positive of this. He went to Florence with Jamie Dubose when Jamie took the Florence job, and he coached quarterbacks for him. Because I can remember Jamie and I talking about this one time, and Jamie said, you know, he's a young guy, but he's full of fire and vinegar, and he's going to make a really good head coach one day. Well, you know, he'd already had a little bit of experience. Then he went there and took mentored under Jamie, and was a quarterback coach there. And so now he took the job at Deschler, and he followed another buddy of ours
it was John Mothershed. There was a guy followed him.
Yeah, that's right. John Mothershed left. Somebody followed
that
him.
That guy passed away.
Right, that's right.
And then there was the guy who followed him, and then Bo came in after him at to Deschler.
And did a great job. As a matter of fact, that's who UMS Wright played this year in the 4A state championship game. And I tell you who Bo reminds me of. I get tickled at this. I said this to somebody. Somebody said, Rick, who does he remind you of? Because they thought the same thing. I said, well, it sounds just like Josh Niblett. Because he says all the things that Josh says, and I get tickled. Josh's favorite line is, to God be the glory. And as soon as the Deschler UMS Wright game was over, Bo was very complimentary of Terry and the entire UMS Wright program, but he closed it with, the God be the glory.
Right.
And I said, that does. That sounds just like Josh.
Yeah, it does.
And that's, so now Bo Culver has left Deschler and taking the head coaching head football job at Hartsell, and he'll do a great job. I mean, he's got a great mind, and he will do a great job, and we're excited for Bo Culver and the job that he will do there. So congratulations to Bo Culver as well. New Hope, and I'm not sure. New Hope, is that up around? Is that in the northern part of the state?
New Hope is. I think so.
Is somewhere
north central Alabama?
It's got to be. Brindley Mountain up in that area. I know Bart Stevenson's been the head coach there, but. You know, that's a proud school. I had a couple of guys. Where is it?
New Hope's just north of Gunnersville.
Yeah, okay.
That's on
the mountain,
Sand Mountain.
Up on Sand Mountain. So it's a proud community. They'll need somebody to come in there with a lot of energy and somebody to get excited for the kids, because there are great kids up there. I do know this. When we were at Talladega, we played New Hope in basketball. And, boy, you talking about getting after it. They played their little rear ends off. They were just good, good, hard-nosed playing kids. And it was a, you know, it was a fun thing to play them. But Bart Stevenson has resigned there, and so they're looking for a new football coach there at New Hope as well. So we'll kind of keep an eye on that. Big thing here in Mobile is the Mobile Sports Hall of Fame has introduced the members of the 2019 class, and you know, one of the guys that's in there is a guy that made a lot of money predicting scores. Danny Sheridan's going to be enshrined into the Mobile Sports Hall of Fame, along with one of my favorites, Louis Gonzalez, played baseball at South and then with the Arizona Diamondbacks. Just a fabulous, fabulous young man and a great, great baseball player. In soccer, we have Roy Patton, the legendary coach that at one time came over and helped at Bayside, but he was a head coach at South Alabama. Ray Schuessler, who was director of the Senior Bowl, a fine, fine man. Nyla Shepherd. And our good buddy Ricky Trickett. Ricky Trickett, the offensive line coach from out there at Mary Montgomery of Sims, went on and coached all over the country. Best known as Bobby Bowden's offensive line coach at Florida State. We'll be back with more PSR right here on FM Talk 106.5.
The Prep Sports Report is brought to you by Future Ones, providers of practice apparel and scout team jerseys with interchangeable numbers. Now, back to the show.
Jack and Diane painted a picture of my life and my dreams. Suddenly this crazy world made more sense to me.
Well, I'm glad Kenny's figured this world out. He talks about Chuck and Diana, but Diane's become a popular name around this show lately. That's I better leave that alone, haven't I?
Yeah, just
I better leave that
move
alone.
On.
Move on. That's right. It's good, though. It's all
yeah,
good.
It is good.
It's all good. You know, we talk about softball on here. We used to talk about for a long time. We talked about those little ladies out at Baker, and I'm telling you, they had a dynasty for a long, long, long time, and they're still really, really good. I can tell you that. But when we talk about softball around here, we got to talk about those Fairhope Pirates and the job that Chuck Nelson has done in the five previous years that he's been at Fairhope. I'm going to tell you, they were 47-7 last year, if I remember correctly, and they won the 7A state championship. We got Chuck with us now. Chuck, how you doing, pal?
Hey, good morning. Doing well. How are you?
Well, we're doing well. Mark Laster's here with us, and of course, you got two ex-Fairhope coaches here, so
that's right.
We're putting a little pressure on you. We're putting a little pressure on you. So,
yeah, I remember years ago, when I first got to Fairhope, softball was struggling a little bit.
Yeah, well, that's because of who you inherited it from. I didn't do a very good job of keeping you good softball.
Anyway, but it's gotten better, and it's just great to see, Coach, what you've done this year. And last year, just kind of reminding everyone, yeah, they lost early in the first round, I believe, or second round of the state tournament last year, had to fight it all the way back and beat Spain Park twice in the finals to win the deal, and that kind of set off the whole thing, and have just embraced it. Coaches, you know, said it in an article earlier this year, just embraced that role,
right,
as coming back again.
Right. They our kids had a no-quit attitude last year. I think we're not quite there yet this year as far as that kind of attitude, but we're getting there. We're working on that every day and trying to get that whole mindset back.
So you're not just going to sit back and kind of enjoy the ride, right?
Oh, no. You don't. It's no secret, and I would be telling a lie if I said anything different, that we do have a good bit of talent right now. And if you don't seize those opportunities, you're not very smart as a coach, because that's what we get in it for, right?
Yeah, well, that's what us two have been doing it for about 70 years for, I can tell you. So I know that doesn't change with anything, but I can tell you this. What about you lose what? You lost Samantha Yarbrough, and I think you lost Jaden, didn't you? You lost those two.
Yes.
And so
yeah, we lost those two. We actually lost five seniors last year, and those two were they played big roles in what we did last year. Sam was a bulldog in the circle, and she was one of those kids that refused to lose, and of course she had a lot of pop in her bat with home runs. And we used to say about Jaden, you know, two-thirds of the world's covered in water, and Jaden Moraes covers the other third. you didn't hit many fly balls out there. Many balls hit the grass around our center field area, and she was a great leadoff hitter. So, and we've lost some kids that weren't actually everyday players, but would have been just about anywhere else. And they've, you know, a couple of them have gone on to play college ball and doing really well.
You know, as you talk about this year's team, of course, you got seven young ladies that returned that started for you last year. And it's not easy to replace the two and the others that left, but at the same time, those seven starters give you a pretty good nucleus. How many of those are pitchers? And who is the one young lady that you put on the mound to kind of beat the Daphnes and the people that, and the Bakers and people like that?
Well, right now, me and my coach, Trevor Powell, we were talking last night that as loaded as we are in the circle, we're really thin right now. We're having a little injury issue now with a couple of our pitchers. One's a little bit of a hip issue, and then we have Emma Kropp, who is she's our everyday catcher, but 2 years ago she made second team All-State as a pitcher. She's thrown several no-hitters. She's leading the team in home runs. She's a South Alabama signing.
Yeah, I was fixing to say that.
So in the circle, though, we have what I would call a phenom in Ailey Johnson. Yeah. She is a ninth grader this year. Last year as an eighth grader, she was the MVP of the state tournament.
Wow.
And she is committed to LSU and has been since an eighth grader.
Good gracious.
She's doing extremely well. She is almost unhittable when she's on it. So we've got two or three, but right now a little bit banged up. We do have a new girl this year, a seventh grader. Her name is Shelby McKenzie. You may know her from this area. I know her mom, Amy, was a pitcher at Alabama.
Amy pitched
back
at Alabama. That's right.
Coached at Fairhope.
Yeah.
And she's 4-0 this year as a seventh grader. She's 12 years old. She's a home run hitter, and has extreme control over the ball. Really, really promising young pitcher.
You know, Chuck, when we're talking to Chuck Nelson, the head softball coach at Fairhope High School. Now, I know Aaliyah is an outstanding pitcher, but I wouldn't take her bat out of the lineup. Ooh. Have you ever?
I mean, alive!
I saw her hit. Yeah. Oh my goodness! She hit a softball as far as some of us guys hit it. It's unbelievable.
Her and Emma Kropp, sometimes they hit the ball that, honestly, even standing on third base coaching box, you can hear the ball whistle in the infield. It's amazing sometimes. Ailey hit a home run last night, and so did Emma. We're in the tournament at Fairhope. I mean at Robertsdale, but Ailey hit a foul ball line drive that cleared the outfield fence. Honestly, looked like it was going to knock down a storage shed. it was hit like it was shot out of a cannon.
Well, Chuck, you and count your blessings. I mean that.
I know you, every day.
You know, when you get a group of youngsters that love the game and play it with the passion that those young ladies play it with, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if Aaliyah doesn't break a whole lot of records in Alabama High School Athletics.
No, I agree with you.
Yeah. I think barring injury, she may set them all. She's that capable.
You know, I was talking, you were talking a minute ago about Coach Amy McKenzie. When mm-hmm. I first got, she was there at Fairhope when I first got there, and just wonderful person, tremendous, and a great coach. But one of the things that I saw during that time was the Little League program in Fairhope was really beginning to take off. You know, Founders was built, all those, and you'd go out there on a Saturday and there'd be softballs everywhere with little girls playing everywhere. And I think we're now beginning to see that feed as every year you get a few more, and then there's a lot of really good softball being played in Fairhope youth leagues coming all the way up, and that's the lifeblood of that program, Coach.
Well, that's absolutely right. It was one of the hardest jobs as a coach of a sport like this where, you know, I also coach football, and everybody just about gets to stay on the football team.
Right.
But when you see some of the talent come through there that you don't have room to keep, it's and they could play at other places.
Right.
It's encouraging, but it's also discouraging because you hate to damper any kid's spirit like that. But we want them all to hang in there and keep coming out for us. They're doing a great job down there.
You know what, Chuck, and that brings me to a point that, and I'm going to tell you this too, you know, Daphne's now built a 10-field complex.
Right.
So softball's going to get even bigger and better there now, even though our buddy Lawrence Shelding has left the Daphne program to take the football job at BC Rain. Daphne's doing the same thing that Fairhope was ahead of us doing and building that complex to do that. But this is something that bothers me. When we're to the point, and I guess it's a good thing, but it's really a bad thing, we're having to cut kids off of these programs that one day are going to be outstanding players. And I wish that at some point in time we could just have an A team and a B team, and heck, if we have to have a C team. But I know
it would be fantastic. It's you're right, because kids develop at a different rate,
right?
And some develop better than others, and some hit that wall earlier and they top out. But it would be nice to see them around a little bit more. I've even, you know, the travel ball could help if we could somehow get that working with us as opposed to against us.
Yeah, right. That's right.
It seems to.
Yeah, and I think that's and unfortunately, I'm seeing and hearing from different coaches that travel ball in softball is not a great teammate. So
I always tell our kids that I have no issue with the travel ball. I'm actually a pretty big fan of it, because if you need to go showcase your individual skills, that's where you do that. Here it's about us, there it's about you.
Right. Right.
That's a good point. We talk about that a lot.
Well, and the part of that is there any way we can bring those AAU coaches to be a part of our team? I don't know how to do that.
The rule book's going to have to be written differently, but
yeah, that's
probably
true too.
Is.
Yeah, they can't.
And I'm with you. I don't know how to do it without convoluting the whole system.
Yeah, they can't coach them in the off season and be a part of the coaching staff during the season. That's true. That's
you
in
know,
every sport,
Florida,
though, Chuck.
By Florida rule, their teams play as travel teams in the summer. Their high school teams with their coaches.
Yeah, but Chuck, Florida doesn't have any rules. Florida's just
gone
completely crazy. I mean, in Florida, Chuck, you got a girl that can play volleyball at Tate, then
right.
she can play basketball at Pensacola High, and then in the spring she can go over and she can play softball for whoever, another school,
right.
Escambia County or whatever, Escambia High School. They don't ever have to move. They can live in the same house and play three different sports for three different teams and three different schools. It's crazy. And if we're not careful,
crazy.
That may happen in Alabama. If we're not careful.
Oh, Lord, I hope not.
Well, I do, too.
It would be about time for me to phase out at that point.
Well, you're talking to two guys here that the dust may bring us to phasing out. But Chuck, you've done a great job there. And can keep on keeping on with those young
Absolutely.
Ladies. I mean that.
Thank you so much.
It's a school that Mark and I both have a great deal of passion and love for, in a community that we just think the world of. And just keep on pushing and driving and loving those young'uns, and we appreciate what you do, pal, and good luck in the race to defend your crown, pal.
Well, I appreciate it, guys. I thank you so much for having me.
Take care. We'll be back with more PSR right here on FM Talk 106.5 out of Mobile, Alabama. I know you're up there. I know at the Doubletree. I got your message. Yeah, we're talking ladies softball. We'll hit some subjects that you like in a few minutes. We'll
Next
be right.
One.
Yeah, yeah. We'll get. We'll be back right here on Radio Alabama.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report brought to you by Parker Dental and Orthodontics. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
You know, we need to take that out. It's back to all of us. But this may be, I'm honest, Mark, this may be as hard, joyful hard, as any segment we've ever done. I'm going to tell you why. I didn't know this. Let Bodge go for a second. Okay. I didn't know this guy till I stepped on the campus at UMS Wright. I'd watched him, and we had been in similar places. He'd been in Birmingham. We'd been, you know, at Banks. He'd been at Mountain Brook, and always heard the greatest things about this guy. And when I walked on the campus at UMS Wright and met Phil Lazenby, it was like I'd met a guy that was real. And you know, in our business, you don't always see that. I mean, you don't see the patriot. You don't see the heart, the passion, the love. But this guy had every bit of it. And for several years until he took the job at Bayside, I tried to just be a sponge and soak up everything I could from him, because I had been around some really good coaches and great men, but I was in the presence of a man that I don't know that I'd ever had as much respect for as I had for this guy. And Monday night, Phil Lazenby is going to be in the 29th induction class of the Alabama High School Athletic Association Hall of Fame. And I can promise you that if there's ever been a coach that deserves to be in that Hall of Fame, it's Phil Lazenby. And it's an honor and a privilege every time we get him on this show, because he emulates and stands for everything that our profession is about. And Phil, I want you to know that I love you. And I'm so excited for you and Tara and for your entire, everybody that is a part of your entourage, because this is one of the most deserving honors that any coach could ever get, and you are the apex of that honor. And I just want you to know how proud I am of you, and I thank you for your friendship, because, buddy, if I was in a foxhole, there is not any man in this world, other than my daddy, that I'd want to be in there other than you. So congratulations, and I'm going to let Mark do this because he's a lot better with you than I am, because I get too emotional. But congratulations.
Thank you for those words.
Coach Laz, yes, good morning, buddy. How are you?
Yeah, Mark, it's been a long time no see.
I know. Where you been? You didn't forget anything today, did you?
Let me see. I got to go pick up my tux today. I had to write it on a piece of paper and stick it on the mirror.
Phil and I make jokes about which one of us forgets the most during a week, and I think he won this last week. He won this last week.
Hands down.
Anyway, congratulations, Coach, on your induction. You know, all the accolades that go through this, you know, 172 wins, you know, 87 there at Bayside, 9 trips to the playoffs at Bayside, a trip to the state championship game at Bayside. And that's something I know that you and I have talked about numerous times, about being in Bryant-Denny Stadium and seeing Bayside Academy go around the teleprompter there on the stadium. I don't know what it's called. It's not a teleprompter, but it's on that screen that goes around. And but anyway, just tell us what this means to you, Coach, of going to being inducted into the 29th group of the Hall of Fame.
Well, I'll tell you, I think I may have mentioned this earlier to you, that it's all the coaches, teachers, and former players that have gotten in touch with me to, you know, to congratulate me. And that has been the most fun of anything. It, you know, just that contact with those people, you know, former coaches, college guys, you know, guys that I played with in college, and then, like I said, teachers, administrators, and former players, and it means a lot to me after doing it for so long, you know. And I know I said a little something about this. My wife keeps me straight on making sure that I understand that I'm doing something that's worthwhile. And this goes to show me that it's worthwhile. And it's a very humbling experience. It's really been great.
Coach, you mentioned in your in one of your interviews that your military background, and I'll tell you again, thanks for your service to our country. You and your entire family, is rooted in defending our country, and we appreciate that coach, but how does that, you said that kind of helped mold you as a coach. Tell us about that.
Well, I think the military part made me stronger mentally. I know it's a lot of physical work, but it wasn't anything that I hadn't already done, because I think football, you know, playing starting at an early age, going all the way through to you know, when I was a man, it helped me more physically. You know, I was used to the physical part of the game of football. And there's the mental part too, but in the military, it's almost all mental. You know, you've got to be able to handle so many different situations, and you're in charge of so many people, and responsible for so many people, that it's really a mental thing. And so I think that's what helped me. The military helped me with the mental aspect.
One of the questions I had, I read something you talked about. The late Coach Sam Bailey talked to you when you were at Alabama. Tell us a little bit about that encounter.
Well, I was at Alabama. I walked on at the University of Alabama, and I don't know why in the world Coach Bryant gave me an opportunity to play at Alabama, because I was really not a great player out of high school. And I was there practicing, and it was during the season, and Coach Bryant, you know, would walk around, but Coach Bailey was basically my, you know, position coach. I was a defensive back, sometimes wide receiver. All the freshmen would do everything, but I was in a drill. I was just getting hammered. I mean, literally smoked. I weighed about 165 pounds. I was 6'2", 165, and I was like a splinter. And I was getting killed. Literally, I mean, you know, he felt sorry for him. He put his arm around me one time after one of the drills. He said, "Phil, you just need to let go. You need to let go and go full speed." He said, "Once you decide to do that, you'll be just fine." And that made the biggest difference in not only my football, but in my career. And I have remembered that from that day. And that coach, I will always remember Sam Bailey for that wonderful piece of advice that he gave.
And what a great piece of advice it was, because you have certainly carried that moment to hundreds of young men and women across the state of Alabama. And Phil, thank you. I mean, we could spend hours with Phil Lazzy. But thank you. We're not going to take any more of your time, because I know Tara's got a whole lot of work for you to do today. So just know how proud we are of you, and we love
Congratulations,
you. Congratulations,
buddy.
Congratulations.
Hey, well, thank y'all so much. I really appreciate those kind words.
We'll talk to you soon. Be back with more PSR right here on Radio Alabama.
Live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, it's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter, and Corey LaBounty.
Good morning, and welcome back to hour number two of PSR, coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, located right here in the heart of Mobile, Alabama. Coming to you also, WYA 106.5, covering all of Talladega County, 105.1, The Lake, covering 45,000 beautiful acres of amazing, beautiful green water right there on Lake Martin. And, you know, our prayers go out to those folks in that area again. Auburn, Beauregard, that entire area. Of course, they were hit again this week with some tornadoes up in that area. And, boy, I'll tell you, they have really had a tough time. And we certainly extend our heartfelt prayers to that group of people. You know, one of the great things about the place that I am just honored and privileged to work, and we've been talking about the arts department, because at UMS Wright, because of the amazing job that those ladies do under the direction of Laura Roberts, and they've got so many amazing faculty members, Mark, and you had the opportunity to see a lot of the things that went on in that art department at UMS Wright, and it is amazing.
It is.
It is just absolutely amazing. And one of the ladies who just, I can't even begin to tell you the job that Margaret Delaney does in the drama department, in the production part of the arts department. hurt right players have earned superior ratings at just about every level that they can compete in. And they are about to present A Midsummer Night's Dream, I think the last part of March. And if I'm not mistaken, I think it starts on like March the 28th. And we are just so glad to have Margaret Delaney on with us. Good morning, Margaret.
Good morning. I'm thrilled to be here. I appreciate you letting me phone in and talk to y'all this morning.
Well, we're excited about the upcoming production. I can't wait to see it. And kind of give us a rundown of what's going on and when we'll be able to see it and when the public will be able to see it.
Well, I'll tell you, Rick, so Shakespeare is sometimes the word that when people say it or when they hear it, they have, you know, an immediate response. It's either really excited or it's maybe not so excited. And that's often because they've been asked to study Shakespeare in school and haven't necessarily had the opportunity to see it performed live on stage as it is meant to be seen. His plays are meant to be seen. And so it's very important to me as an educator and as a theater person to make sure that my students have the opportunity to perform Shakespeare. And so I've chosen this year A Midsummer Night's Dream, which is his most often produced show, and there's a reason for that. It's a comedy, and it appeals to everyone. It has some forbidden love. It has some feuding fairies. We have some mechanicals who are the sort of blue-collar workers who are putting on a play in honor of the Duke's impending wedding, and boy, do they not know what they're doing, and it's all incredibly entertaining. And so we've got 25 actors who have agreed to sort of brave the intimidating Shakespearean text, if you will. And I've also got, if you can believe it, Rick, 25 crew members. And I have this, and for this show, I have as many crew members as I have actors. And I think that's a first.
Well, and they're always, it's amazing, amazing what these crews do. And then the acting part of it. And you know, Margaret, I cease to be amazed at the ability you're able to draw out of these young people, the talent that you have and that you manifest it so well with these young people. It's just absolutely amazing, and it takes countless numbers of hours. As much as we talk about athletics on here, when you have a production like A Midsummer Night's Dream, kind of give the people an idea of how much time is put in by those young actors as well as the crew to just to get ready to get that show on the stage.
Absolutely. So we've been working since the third week of January on the text itself and on the you know, the blocking of the scenes, what you'll actually see from the actors on stage. But we also, ever since then and even before that, have been pulling kind of set pieces together, and we're doing the construction of some of those set pieces. We do the set dressing and decoration. We do all of the scenic design and artistry. We've got Miss Harden, who is our art teacher on campus, who so graciously lends her artistic talents to us as well. And so, you know, on the crew, I've got people who are building, but I've also got people who are painting. They're making wigs for me. They're making fairy wings. We've got really all kinds of crafting tasks that people are of all skill levels are able to help with. And oftentimes they don't really know what they've signed on for if they've never worked crew for a show. And they come in and we just put them straight to work because there is so much to be done.
We live in a community here where Shakespeare experience is something that a lot of the general public would love to be a part of. How can the general public come to UMS Wright and partake of this amazing production? Because I can't wait to see it, to be honest with you. But, I mean, I know the general public is going to want to be there.
Absolutely. We have four performances scheduled, and this show is appropriate for all ages. We have Thursday, March the 28th. At 6 p.m. Friday, March the 29th at 6 p.m. And we have two shows on Saturday, March the 30th. Those will be at 2 and at 6. And we are so grateful to Iberia Bank and Encore Rehabilitation for providing us the much-needed funds to be able to get some of these really extravagant and gorgeous costumes and set pieces that we will be able to use for this show. And all tickets are $5, Rick. It's a bargain deal. You can't even go to a movie for that.
No. No, that's, and let me tell you this, that'll be as fine a $5 absolutely as you have ever spent watching these young people perform A Midsummer Night's Dream. That'll be on Thursday, March the 28th at 6 p.m., Friday, March the 29th at 6 p.m., and then on Saturday, March the 30th at 2 and 6 p.m. I can't even begin to encourage people to see this because you'll be astonished.
Yeah. And they will be astonished at how well they understand it. You know, I think a lot of times people are intimidated and think, I don't really know what's going on. But that's the beauty of when it's done correctly and when the actors know what they're saying. It all is beautifully translated and able to be understood by the audience. And I'd love, Rick, if you don't mind, to give just a plug to our band and our chorus, who are going to be competing next week with the Alabama Bandmasters Association and the Alabama Vocal Association. We've got lots of big things coming up even right before we've got our show.
Absolutely. And you talk about Melissa and the job that she and Michelle do, just an amazing, amazing job that these ladies do, along with you, Margaret. And I will tell you this, Margaret was selected by her students and peers to be one of the favorite teachers in our entire area, and boy, those kids just absolutely love coming to your class. I mean, I see it, hear it, and it resounds. It's amazing. And Margaret, thank you for the job you do, and we will continue to promote this here on PSR.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it, and have a great day.
You too, Margaret. Margaret Delaney, she is the drama director there at UMS Wright, and I'm telling you, she does an amazing job. Doesn't matter from she deals with 5th, 5th, and 6th graders, and then 9th through 12th graders. And I'm going to tell you, A Midsummer Night's Dream, Thursday, March the 28th at 6 o'clock, Friday, March the 29th at 6, and then Saturday, March the 30th at 2 and 6 p.m. Boy, that will be something. $5? Are you kidding me? You can't even get a McDonald's big meal for that.
It's a great thing to watch those kids
do.
Oh,
Lord, it'll be amazing.
Awesome. They put in a lot of work for that and do a great job at it. I'm going to change gears real quick, Rick.
Yep.
I got a text message from Mrs. Phil Lasby, Tara Lasby. She wanted to let me know that last night, Hunter Slater, 2 home runs and a single, scored 3 runs, drove in 4 RBIs in a 12-9 win over Southern Mississippi. Southern Mississippi over La Tech last night. Yeah. She wanted to make sure we got a hold of that Hunter. And if y'all don't know Hunter Slater, he is a tremendous baseball player,
but
he's an even better human being. He's a great kid. And, man, I'm just so tickled for him. He does things the right way. And he's having a great year over at Southern Miss this year. Having a great year.
Tell you what, he's a pretty doggone good athlete. Doesn't matter what sport it was.
He was pretty fun to watch play high school football.
He sure was.
He wasn't a bad quarterback.
He's something. And I know that Tara's mighty excited and happy for him. As is Phil. I can promise you that.
Sir.
I guarantee you that. All right, we'll be back with more PSR covering more high school sports right here all over the southeastern part of the United States. Right here on FM Talk 106.5 and Radio Alabama.
On the Prep Sports Report Radio Network. It's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales Communication Lines. Now, back to the show.
You know, we spend a lot of time talking about athletes from all over the state of Alabama. This morning, I wanted to take some time out and share with Mark and Corey, and now Corey's not here, but Dalt is here, and I wanted to kind of bring you up on who are probably 20 to 25 of the best high school baseball players in the state of Alabama. And we have some buddies that are what we call bird dogs, and bird dogs work with professional scouts and cover the Southeast, kind of giving us an idea of who the better baseball player, or who are the ones with the most, I guess, Mark, you would say the ones who have the most upside is what we call it in baseball. And I wanted to kind of share that with you because we're going to bounce all around the state today, as we generally do during the spring. But I want to give you some names of some youngsters that you might want to keep your eye on. And not only as they go on into college baseball, but as the draft comes up in the spring, you're going to hear some of these names, I can assure you. First one we're going to start off with is a young man who transferred from Spanish Fort to Daphne High School, Von Siebert. He's a first baseman and a pitcher. He hit 381 last year. He was a 6A first-team All-State utility player. He's already signed with Pearl River Junior College, but he had previously committed to the University of Alabama. And I'm going to tell you, if you get the opportunity to watch this young man, the ball just flies off of his bat. And he's an outstanding baseball player. He's a pitcher and a first baseman, Von Siebert from Daphne High School. You go to Central Alabama, to Oxford High School, Jared Turner. He signed with West Georgia. Coach, that college should sound familiar to you because your baseball coach signed or played at West Georgia.
That's correct. Coach Brown played there, and he came out of Spanish Fort and played there. So, yeah, West Georgia's got a really good baseball
program.
They
always have had one. Jaron Turner at Oxford High School. He's a right-handed pitcher. He also catches. He had an 8-2 record last year with a 0.0 ERA, 0.84. I'm going to tell you, West Georgia's getting a good player there. Then we go over to Skipperville, Alabama. Kevin Raley kind of cut his teeth there, winning a state championship, and now we get the benefits of his great ability as a baseball coach. But Christian Collier over at GW Long, he was a 2A first-team All-Stater last year. He's already signed with Chattahoochee Valley there in Phenix City. And then we go to Vestavia Hills, Alabama, up where one of the great high school coaches that ever coached in the state of Alabama, Sammy Dunn. And his son now is a head baseball coach at Samford. But Sammy Dunn created an amazing tradition there with the baseball program at Vestavia Hills. Colton Lewis is a left-handed pitcher and a first baseman. He was Super All-State last year. He signed with Jacksonville State. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but Jacksonville State plays with the big guys. Rudy Abbott created a mountain of a baseball program there at Jacksonville State, and Colton Lewis from Vestavia Hills will be a part of that this next year. Don't be surprised if Colton Lewis is not a draftee in this spring's baseball draft. Then we go up to North Alabama, to Buckhorn High School. Trey Wright's a right-handed pitcher. He's the brother of Atlanta Brave pitcher Kyle Wright. He signed with Tennessee Tech. He's got a bright future. Then we go over to Smith Station in East Central Alabama, and we look at Clay Weatherly, a right-handed pitcher. He's uncommitted at the present time, but several SEC schools are looking at him. Then we go up to Hazel Green, Alabama, where we had one of the best high school girls basketball coaches, Tim Miller, who has coached at Hazel Green for a long time now, was our guest last week. Their baseball program won the state championship last year in 6A baseball. He has signed. Jackson Minor has signed with the National Junior College national champion Chipola, and down in North Florida. He was previously committed. Jackson Minor was previously committed to Mississippi State. He's decided to go the junior college route, which a lot of baseball players do. Then we stay in the Birmingham area at Hoover High School. We have Cole Baker. He signed with Ole Miss, one of the really, really, truly better right-handed pitchers in the state of Alabama. Then we go to Montgomery, to Trinity Presbyterian School. Plays for our good friend Ken Whittle, Trace Bright. He is, Chase does a little bit of everything. Trace is a catcher. He also pitches. Lots of people think that Trace Bright is going to be one of the top draft prospects in the United States in this upcoming draft. He's already signed with Auburn. Staying in that Montgomery area, over at Morgan Academy in Selma, Brayton Brown signed with Auburn. He's a utility player. Look for great things from Brayton Brown out of Morgan Academy. Then up back in Birmingham at Oak Mountain, Jackson Kimbrell signed with Ole Miss. He's a left-handed pitcher. hear a lot of great things about Jackson Kimbrell at Oak Mountain. He's an Ole Miss signee. Then back over to Selma at Morgan Academy, David Ducote. He transferred from a school in Mississippi. I want to say he transferred from St. Andrews in Ridgeland. And David is a shortstop. He's also signed with Auburn. Then we have here in Mobile, Jake Holyfield. Plays first base. He was a Class 5A hitter of the year last year. He signed with Southern Miss. Going over to East Alabama, to Auburn, Jackson Arnold. He was a member of Auburn's 7A state championship team last season. He signed with Georgia Tech, and he is a third baseman right-handed pitcher. Going down to Dothan, Alabama, to the Circle City, Blake Burkhalter from Northview, a right-handed pitcher. And Blake has already signed with Auburn as well. Going back to Birmingham and to Hoover High School, Peyton Wilson. Does that name sound familiar from Wilson, from Hoover High School?
John Wilson. Parker Wilson.
That's John Parker Wilson's little brother. Peyton is a second baseman and a catcher. He's got a great baseball future. He's got a brother who's already in pro ball. And so the Wilson name continues to thrive there at Hoover High School. And over at Mountain Brook, got a right-handed pitcher by the name of Dowd Ritter. Dowd is has already signed with Alabama. He's a 6'5" right-hander, and you know, coming over the top, he's something special. I can tell you that. Then back over to up to Hazel Green. Jordan Beck is an outfielder. He played on that 6A state championship team last year. Dalt, you'll be glad to know this. Jordan Beck signed with Tennessee. Then up around Haleyville, we bring up Haleyville for the second time in the show. Blake Bennett, he's a left-handed pitcher that signed with Alabama. That's two big left-handed pitchers they've already signed. And then here in Mobile, Chandler Best, he's a left-handed pitcher. He was a 7A first-team All-Stater last year. And he signed with Southern Mississippi. Those are the names you want to keep an eye out for in college baseball in the coming years. There's high school seniors this year in the state of Alabama.
You know, it kills me about how every year you hear something about G.W. Long and their baseball program. Yeah. They've just got guys coming in and there, and Bayside traveled over there last weekend and played in a little few games they played against some different teams over there, but they played G.W. Long, and I was talking to Coach Brown the other day, and he said that they are just as solid as they can be. That's as solid a team as they can be, and top to bottom. But that's one of those places where, you know, they play baseball from when they're really young. It's very entrenched in their community. It's a big deal to be a baseball player there, and football. Football's got a really good program as well. I'm not trying to say one's better than the other, but their baseball program for years has been known, so keep an eye on those guys this year. You know, this week, Rick, we had I went over and watched Bayside play a school out of Lebanon, Tennessee. It's a Friendship Academy, I think was the name of the school. And they came down and played, and I got to talk with their coach after the game, and I watched the game. It was a really good game. They beat us in the top of the seventh inning, with scored two runs to go ahead of us 4-3 and win the game. But I watched when we took the lead in the bottom of the sixth, their players just never panicked.
Yeah.
Just stayed right there with the flow of the game. Classy bunch of young people. I mean, they were very I wouldn't say professional, but they're not professional. They're just very classy.
Right.
A lot of sportsmanship. And I was talking to their coach, and that's just part of their school. That's the way they do things. And, man, they were a really fun group to watch.
See a lot of baseball teams and softball teams coming into Alabama on their spring break.
To travel,
that's pretty good stuff. A lot of baseball going on today, too. You can go out to, I think, UMS Kevin Raley, and those guys are playing host to somebody today. I'll have to try to find out who that is. I think that they throw the first pitch around noon today. We come back, we'll talk to David right here on the CNC Communication Lines.
PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now, back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter, and Corey Labounty.
All right. Welcome back to PSR, Radio Alabama. Thanks to Keith Rice. Dr. Keith Rice, UMS plays MGM, Mary Montgomery, today at 11 o'clock. Then at 1:30, MGM plays McGill. And then at 4, UMS and McGill play right there. And I'm thinking that's on the campus of UMS Wright. So, got a lot of baseball going on there. And Bayside today is playing
Satsuma. Oh, we moved our time back from 10 and 12 to 11:30 and 1:30, I believe, or 11:30 and 2. I'm not sure exactly what the second game is going to start, but the first game has been moved back to 11:30 at Bayside versus Satsuma.
And that's right there on the
On 64. Right there, the 64 Bayside complex, right.
All right, we got a couple callers online. We got our buddy Wayne from Sylacauga we're going to get to in just a minute. But first, let's go to David on the CNC communication lines. Dave, what's going on, buddy?
Good morning, gentlemen.
How you doing?
Good.
Well, good times over here at the car lot.
That's good. That's good.
Through a lot of our cash cars, and I got about two or three left, but I still always looking. So if people have cars that have been sitting around, they're not using, they're ready to get rid of, bring it on to us. We'll write you a check right there on the spot. Take it off your hands.
Is that right? You'll buy a used car right there from them?
I will buy it right there. As long as you got the clean title available or somewhere.
I'm telling you.
We'll buy it.
Somewhere.
Mark should have done that. I mean, he's had probably about 10, 11 cars go through his driveway.
When all my boys are at home, we have a used car lot in our house. It's unbelievable. There are cars everywhere, David, I'm telling you.
So, well, so tell us how everybody can get in touch with you, David, because I'm going to tell you, I come by there frequently, too frequently, and I'm telling you, it's a lot of action going on right there in that lot.
Well, luckily, we're in the favorite location in Mobile. We're right by the Leprechaun. I mean, in fact, he lives in the oak tree behind our lot. Got to get there at the right time to see him.
Right.
You can call us at 251-338-9019. We have a website, CNCFinancialAutoSales.com. We still have the party bus out, been moving almost every weekend, so you can get that at PremierPartyBus.com.
Well, we hope everybody will go by there and give you guys a shout out, and I'm sure they may can find some Connecticut sausage somewhere in that building.
Generally, unfortunately, today I'm headed across the bay to the beautiful people where our UMS Bulldogs face Fairhope in a doubleheader.
What's that, a JV game at Fairhope,
that
right?
That would be a JV.
Yep,
yes,
JV
sir.
Game at awesome. Fairhope. That's great. All right, Dave, thanks a bunch. Take care.
We appreciate it, guys.
Thanks,
take
Brady.
Care, buddy. You know, as I wanted to, what was I was about to tell you something. I forgot what it was. That's bad when you forget it.
That happens all the time, me and you here.
Yeah, that's right. I tell you what let's do. Let's go down to Sylacauga way, and talk to our buddy Wayne. Wayne, how you doing this morning, pal?
I'm doing fine, Rick. How you doing?
I've been listening
to you.
Good.
Y'all need to check out Fedville. I think there's a boy down there that's a pitcher that's supposed to be signed with Troy. I'm not for sure.
Yeah, he is. He's a big old tall cup of tea, too. I saw that. He does. He has signed with Troy. And
He has. He was on the Jimmy Dale show the other morning and all. So I heard y'all mention about the baseball players.
Right.
Sylacauga's got a baseball game today.
Is that right? They're playing at that new refurbished park right there. Boy, they've really fixed a baseball park up there, hadn't they?
They have. They start at 12. I think they got a double hitter. I think one of them's with over at Alabaster. They play in Alabaster, I think.
Play Thompson, probably. They probably play Thompson out of Alabaster.
And all.
Well,
my grandboy plays on the ninth grade bunch.
Well, that's good. But you'll get about 4 good years of watching him play. That's good stuff.
Yeah, we will.
That's
have you
stuff.
Talked to Morris lately?
I got in touch with him the other night during the tornado, and and he was in the basement of his neighbor's house. So
I
need to check on him today.
Listen, I just thought I'd holler at you. I heard y'all talking about all the baseball bunch, but like I said, that and in Fedville, I think he's real good.
Well, we'll check on him and get his name out there. Okay, Wayne. Thanks.
Well, I enjoy listening to you. I'll talk to you and hear you next week.
Appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks,
take
Wayne.
Care, Wayne. That's good stuff. Appreciate it, pal. We were sometimes lose my
train of thought.
Train of thought.
He still hasn't got it. He's not back on track yet. Don't cover him up.
I wish I had something to say.
We played the Alabama-Mississippi All-Star game last night in basketball, and Alabama rolled to 101-82 victory. It's a second straight game in which Alabama scored more than 100 points to win. They played at the Acadome down on the campus of Alabama State University, and boy, I'm going to tell you, Tim Miller, who we had on the show last week from up at Hazel Green, was the head coach of the girls' team, and the girls just played outstanding. Probably the best, I guess, the star of the game, if you have to have a star of the game, was a young lady from Pleasant Home, Alabama. Name is River Baldwin. River played at Pleasant Home, and she signed with Florida State. She scored 19 points, had 13 rebounds, and she was the most valuable player for the Alabama team. She also blocked two shots, had two steals, and shot 7 for 8 from the field in just 16 minutes. So congratulations to the girls. I still hadn't got a score on the boys' game yet, but I think, if I'm not mistaken, Bucky McMillan and the boys defeated Mississippi pretty handily. That was, I want to say, it was about a 12-14-point difference in the game. So that's good stuff. Congratulations to those two teams. Did you get that, Dalton?
I'm pulling it up right now. Okay. You know, Alabama had a three-game losing streak. It looks like they won 107-90.
Good
17-point win.
17-point win. Also in baseball today, Fairhope plays a varsity doubleheader at Davidson today. I think they start at 12. And I think that Stu's going to play a third game. They're going to go out to Baker and play a third game. They're going to play three games today. The doubleheader starting at 12. Appreciate Bob from Fairhope sending us that. Appreciate
that.
Got to
have a lot of pitchers play three games in one day.
I'm telling you, boy, you better.
Because that's just, I mean, it can be done now. And sure. Stu's got them. He's got players over there. Yeah. He's got, you know, they've got a lot of kids that play baseball at Fairhope, so they'll be able to, but that's just a lot of kids are going to have to pitch today.
You know, I think I would imagine when you have a day like that, you probably would bring up a couple of kids from the JV
to
pitch.
Absolutely. But now they got a JV game today, too, against UMS Wright.
That's true.
Going to be a lot of kids playing baseball in Fairhope today, good for them.
Have to pull them off travel ball, too. That's all I'm going to do, but that's exactly right.
Oh, they'll do great.
You know, we got a question here. I want to answer it. That's plain and simple. I want to know where Smith Station is. Smith Station's located right there in the Auburn area.
Are they in Lee County? Is Smith Station in Lee County?
I'm thinking it's right on the border.
It's right there next to Phoenix City.
Yeah, right there between you go Auburn, Opelika, and then you're going to come to Smith Station, if I'm
Phoenix
not mistaken.
City.
Yeah.
And Russellville's pinched in there somewhere.
No, Russellville's in North. Russell County.
I wonder if Smith Station is actually in Russell County.
It may be. I don't know. But it's right up the road from Opelika, I can tell you that. It's off the beaten path, as a matter of fact. Smitty Grider was there for a long time. Now you guys down in Dothan get you a little dose of Smitty Grider. He'll do a great job at the new high school there. You know, what I understand, Mark, that they just kind of let both staffs go at Dothan and Northview, and Smitty's bringing in an entire staff, if I'm not mistaken.
That's kind of a weird situation. I don't know how I guess they, you know, there's a rivalry between two schools. We all know that. And maybe it's just too deep, too entrenched. And they said, well, you know, we're going to bring in a whole new group of people to do this new high school.
Well, they were one school for years.
Yeah.
They were one school for years until about 1977, 78, and then they built Northview, and Northview became, you know, the kind of the prima donna there, and Dothan took a back seat. Now they've brought them back together again. I don't know how – I just don't know. I think they're going to be a heck of a football program in Smitty.
Oh, yeah.
They will be really good.
I
can tell you that.
A lot of players.
Then he wanted to know where Hoke's Bluff was, and you know where Hoke's Bluff is.
I do.
Yeah, well,
Hoke's Bluff right across the river, right across the Coosa River from Coates Bend, Alabama.
Right.
Now everybody know where Coates Bend is?
No.
It's on the way from Gadsden to Center, Alabama.
Yep, that's right.
I was born in Coates Bend, by the way, outside of Gadsden as a youngster in 1959.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
I think the population was 100, and I made 101. Well, made 100 and a half. I was kind of short.
Then he wants to know where Providence Christian is. Providence Christian's located down in Dothan. It's a private school down there with Houston Academy and a good group of people down there at Providence Christian. And Morgan Academy is located, Mr. Taxman, it's located in Selma. Mm-hmm. Morgan Academy is big. Their big rival is Meadowview.
Yeah,
that used to be.
I played against Morgan a few years.
They got
monster mosquitoes come August.
Yeah,
I don't know that much.
That's prime hunting land too. Now I'm gonna tell you, you go down around Selma and get some of that. That's some prime hunting land
for
some of our buddies.
I was going back to Providence Christian. First of all, I'll give a shout out to the headmaster there. His name is Emory Latta. Emory and I graduated college together at Alabama and kind of got back together seeing each other after many, many years coaching golf. He coaches Providence's golf team.
Right.
And became, of course, we've been good friends for years, but I hadn't seen him.
Yeah.
And
coached at Dothan High for years.
Yeah, he did. Did a great job. Strength and conditioning guy. But it took over. He's headmaster there. Just done a great job. Providence played for the state championship last year in football. And their golf teams won it. They moved up actually into 4A in golf.
Right.
Both teams, boys and girls. But something that has been fun to watch has been to watch Providence Christian and Houston Academy play golf against one another.
Right.
Those are the two premier 3A, were the 3A premier teams in the last couple of years. In golf,
right.
And they have really gone head-to-head and going at it. But the great thing about it is to watch those kids after a round, they go over and shake each other's hands,
yep.
And moms and dads are talking to one another, and it's good stuff. And so good, looking forward to seeing what Providence Christian can do this year.
Got a shout-out to Meredy Jones over at UMS Rider. Girls' tennis team is undefeated and doing a great, great job. Also, the boys. Boys are undefeated, too, as well.
Pretty good.
We ain't doing bad. We got, real quick, we got to go to the CNC communication lines. Let's go to the second line there. Talk to Fireball in Mobile. Real quick, got just about 30 seconds. Fireball, what's up?
Hey, guys, y'all doing a fantastic job. I just wanted to reach out to all the young men doing sports and everything, and all the coaches, everybody that's listening this morning. I had a very good friend that got killed Wednesday morning on DIP. On road construction.
Oh, Lord, I saw that.
Please, this is somebody's daddy.
Yep.
Somebody's husband, somebody's son.
Yep.
Our dear friends, and just please stress to everybody
to
be careful in these work zones.
Absolutely.
Thank you,
Fireball. That's sad, sad case there.
Gosh.
All right, we'll be back with the faith segment coming up right here on FM Talk 106.5, right here in.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile, is the summer home of Camp Rappahoke, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile, and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace. You know, back in 2015, we did a show that featured Coach Tony Dungy, and he has 10 ways to balance work and family life. I wanted to share that with you this morning because over the years, I've had several men that have asked us to repeat that. And so that's what we're going to do this morning, and I hope that you get as much out of this as others have and as we did here at PSR. You know, the first rule that Coach Dungy has in balancing work and family is to calendar your kids. We're all busy. We're parents. We have kids. This place, that place. Make sure to schedule specific time that is just for your children. Calendar them in so that time is blocked and does not slip your mind. The second is equal passion. Most men work very hard at their job. It's a matter of pride. Do you give the same passion to your family? The most important work you will ever have is being a father and a husband. Try to prioritize your life in such a way that your daily amount of passion is divided appropriately. Third is core values. No man can have it all. We just got to accept that. Coach Tony Dungy speaks often about a man's core values. Seriously consider the things that are most important to you and let them be your guide. In his book, by the way, in his book Uncommon, Coach Dungy refers to this as finding our landmarks. When you get lost, those landmarks will guide you back safely to where you belong. Number four, lighten up. From the same book, Uncommon, Coach Dungy also asked the question, are you ever silly around your kids? Life is serious business, yet we must be able to relax enough to find joy as well. One should never totally lose the spirit of the child we once were. Relax. Smile. Splashing around in a few puddles never hurt anybody. Number five, spread it around. Most people take too much upon their shoulders. Success is usually brought about from excellent teamwork. Don't be a ball hawk. Kobe Bryant spent several seasons frustrated by not winning championships. Then he learned to start trusting his teammates, and another Laker championship was brought home. Trust the people you work with. Trust your family and your friends. By sharing your duties with those so eager to help, you create more time for the things that are most important in your life. Get a tune-up. Number six. You know, your car requires periodic service to keep it performing at maximum level. So does your life. Over time, our lives become clogged with unnecessary time consumers. Optimize your own engine by cleaning out the things that are needlessly wasting your time. Take a look at your personal habits and how you spend each minute of your day. Rid yourself of the needless waste. You know, Mark, when I see that and I hear that, I think about social media. How much time we waste doing things on social media that just really are a waste of time. Number seven is the babysitter. Build yourself a network of reliable and trustworthy caretakers for your children. So many marriages are drowned in a sea of neglect. A healthy relationship requires attention and work, just like anything else in life. This requires time alone. When you find a good babysitter, treat them right and pay them well. They are invaluable to the corporation you call the family. Number eight, the outlet. Like me, a lot of men play golf. Basketball is always popular with the middle-aged men. Flag football leagues for men are sprouting up all over the Southeast. Why? Because men need an outlet. Maybe it's hiking or fishing. Hundreds of possible ways exist for you to escape your day-to-day, to just be you. This is mentally healthy as long as you keep it in a proper perspective. Women do such a much better job of this than we as men do. They do such a great job of prioritizing their time, making family the priority rather than the secondary. Be flexible. We all have our ideals of exactly how we want things to be. Sticking too rigidly to those ideals, however, can create undue stress. Life comes fast and hard, and it's important to be flexible in how you deal with it. Adopt and improvise. It's not just for the military. Live a purpose-driven life is the 10th and final way to balance work and family. And that comes from a man who has done that very well, Tony Dungy. As you are created in God's image, discover your purpose in life. We all have special gifts and traits. Learning who you are and why you are here clears so much confusion. Zero in on your true purpose and your life will follow suit. Mark, there's no man that I have any more respect for in our profession than Tony Dungy. He walks the talk. I'll tell you, he walks it every day of his life. He's gone through the time, the terrible time of losing a child. He is also, he is the leader of men and being the leader of the family, but also being able to share those leadership qualities with the wife. And I'm going to tell you, those 10 things, those 10 ways that we talked about back in 2015, 10 ways to balance work and family from Coach Tony Dungy's book, Uncommon, is one of the greatest 10 points that I think we've ever had on this show.
You know, this is going to sound a little weird, but do you remember the movie Shawshank Redemption?
Do, very All well.
Right. There was a scene in that movie where Morgan Freeman is sitting before the parole board. He's been in prison since he was 20 years old. And they ask him, you know, what would you like to tell? And he said, I'd like to go back and find myself when I was 20 years old.
Yeah.
And talk to myself and tell that stupid kid at 20 that what I was doing was wrong. And go back and revisit that. And, you know, when I heard that saying, it reminds me of this right here. This is a plan.
Yeah.
For a man's life.
It's a game plan.
It's a game plan.
Yeah, that's right.
When I was 20 years old, I did not have that game plan.
And neither did I.
And I wish today.
Yeah.
I could go back and find myself at 20 years old.
I do too.
And implement a game plan. It would have made my life so much better.
Yeah.
My relationship so much better. My love for my family so much deeper. Yeah. All of those things would have been a part of my life if I could just do it. But I can't.
No.
So what do? I'm going to hopefully instill that in my children.
Absolutely. And hopefully the men that listen to this, maybe you'll do like the others wanted this week, want a copy of that.
Right.
We've got copies of that. All you got to do is give us a call here at FM Talk 106.5 or give me a text or send me an email. Hey, thanks for being a part of our show this morning. Go out and support your local high school baseball team. And remember this, no matter what you do, no matter where you go, He is always with you. God bless you. We'll see you here, same place, same time, next Saturday morning.